Haribo. Today we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Majjhalila, Chapter 7, Text 144 to 148. So I'll begin with 144. The Brahmana Vasudev continued, O my merciful Lord, such mercy is not possible for ordinary living entities. Such mercy can be found only in you. Upon seeing me, even a sinful person goes away due to my bad bodily odor. Yet you have touched me. Such is the independent behavior of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Being meek and humble, the Brahmana Vasudev worried that he would become proud after being cured by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To protect the Brahmana, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised him to chant the Hare Krishna mantra incessantly. By doing so, he would never become unnecessarily proud. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also advised Vasudev to preach about Krishna and thus liberate living entities. As a result, Krishna would very soon accept him as his devotee. Purport. Although Vasudev Vipra was a leper and had suffered greatly, still, after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cured him, he instructed him to preach Krishna consciousness. Indeed, the only return the Lord wanted was that Vasudev preach the instructions of Krishna and liberate all human beings. That is the process of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Each and every member of this society was rescued from an abominable condition. But now they are engaged in preaching the cult of Krishna consciousness. They are not only cured of the disease called materialism, but are also living a very happy life. Everyone accepts them as great devotees of Krishna, and their qualities are manifest in their very faces. If one wants to be recognized as a devotee by Krishna, he should take to preaching work following the advice of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then one will undoubtedly attain the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Lord Krishna himself, without delay. Krishna upadeshikoro jivaranishtara achirati Krishna toma karibe nangikar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also advised Vasudev to preach about Krishna and thus liberate living entities. As a result, Krishna would very soon accept him as his devotee. Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodido Gaudadai Pushpavanto Chitrasando Tamodina Buddha Panchatadvatmakam Krishnam Bhakti Rupa Sarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This purport is very appropriate for this time of year because so many devotees, so many heroes are out there on the streets every day doing the yajna. And this is very much the mood of the purport, which is everyone should be engaged in delivering others. Now, this is a particular feature of Mahaprabhu's pastime in this chapter. He told this same instruction to Kurma Brahmana, right? Jari Deki Tariko Krishna Padesh, Amara Gyaya Guru Hoy Tari Yadesh. He said, you don't need to come with me. I know you're very attracted. You can stay where you are. Just deliver your local vicinity by preaching Krishna consciousness. And then as Mahaprabhu is meeting people, he's saying the same thing. So he said the same thing again to this Vasudev Vipra. So at the end of yesterday's class, someone asked the question, is Vasudev Vipra the same as the Vasudev who had an immense compassion and wanted to take the sins of all the living entities? And Kartik Chandra Prabhu said, no, it's a different Vasudev. But there is an interesting connection between the two. Both pastimes are in this great literature for the same reason, to demonstrate compassion. And in the case of Vasudev Dutt, he had the compassion, and his mood was, let me deliver everyone. And Srila Prabhupada says very interestingly that this is a greater exhibition of compassion than even Lord Jesus Christ. And what's the difference? The difference being Lord Jesus Christ would deliver those who took shelter of him, whereas Vasudev Datta is just saying, just deliver everyone. It doesn't matter if they take shelter of me or not. Just deliver everyone. That was his mood. So there's a Sanskrit word for compassion, which indicates one suffers when other people suffer. Who can tell me the phrase in Sanskrit for compassion? Doya is one of them, but I'm looking for, there's actually many, we can go through some of them. I'm looking for the one that says, a person who suffers when other people suffer. Yes, para dukkha dukkhi. So para dukkha dukkhi means my unhappiness is a result of someone else's unhappiness because I actually feel for that person. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his humility describes himself as para dukkha sukhi, meaning I'm happy when other people suffer. So whoever has ever felt happiness when they've seen someone else suffer? Maybe someone you don't like and they've suffered and you've thought, yes, I'm happy. Anyone felt that before? God, I feel it all the time. I heard one Sankirtan story. He actually was very offensive to a devotee on the street. And he was very angry, and he drove off and smashed his car straight away. And people hear about it, and they all laugh, because it's kind of funny, you know. He got his just comeuppance, right? But actually, in a sense, we don't actually feel happy when these things happen, right? Anyway, so in today's verses, the word doya was used. So Vrindavan Chandra was correct, of course. He used the word doya. What other words are there for compassion or related words? Karuna, correct. Now that's an interesting one because in the Nectar of Devotion, when compassion is discussed as one of the qualities of Krishna, the word karuna is used. So very good. Thank you. Any other ones? How about ones in relation to Lord Chaitanya? As an avatar, he has a particular title relating to his compassion. Anyone know? There's several words that indicate the avatar of Lord Chaitanya, which indicate his compassion. Yeah. So what's the word? Vidanya. Yeah, it's Vidanya. It's interesting, and when you put it in the dative case, it becomes Vidanyaya. So some people say he is Vidanyaya avatar, but not really. He's Vidanya avatar. It's like, you get the difference. And Audarya, another example. Audarya meaning the compassion of Lord Chaitanya. Patita Pavana. I would go for Patita Pavana, yes, the deliverer. There's probably so many. Now here's an interesting verse, the first verse of this chapter. It's very, very amazing. Danyam tam naomi chaitanyam vasudevam dayardrahti nashtakushtam rupapushtam bhaktitushtam chakarayaha. Lord Chaitanya, being very compassionate toward a brahmana named Vasudev, cured him of leprosy. He transformed him into a beautiful man satisfied with devotional service. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the glorious Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So those that are familiar with this literature will know that each chapter has a Sanskrit verse that kind of takes one point. Maybe it's the essence, or maybe it's just one very nectarian part of the chapter, and it's sort of like a summary. If you're going to choose one aspect of a chapter, well, Krishnadas Kaviraj Maharaj has done that. He's chosen for each chapter a particular aspect of that chapter and highlighted it in a Sanskrit composition, which I assume is his own composition, because the rest of the verses are in Bengali. So what's interesting is this chapter, there's so many different pastimes, but this particular pastime of delivering Vasudev is the chosen one. So it's the first Sanskrit verse. It's all about the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So we're talking about mercy and compassion. So there's another phrase here, and it's very deep word. It means one who has melted with compassion. It's doya ardra dhi. Dhi meaning one's disposition, one's intelligence, is ardra, afflicted or suffering, or melted due to doya, due to mercy. So ardra, if you look at the Sanskrit dictionary, the word ardra means soft or watery. So compassion is a state of consciousness where the heart melts. You actually feel someone suffering. So in a sense, it's not actually suffering, it's bliss. If you're in compassion, you're feeling compassion, you're actually experiencing bliss because you're like resonating with another human being, which is a deep feeling and it's a nice feeling. So that's the word ardra, meaning soft, and doya means with mercy. So there's another verse in the, this is Majjha 7. In Majjha 4, we had a beautiful verse, which is considered to be the Kaustubha jewel of verses that describe devotion. So it said, of all jewels, the Kaustubha jewel is considered the best. So in the same way, of all verses about devotional service, there's one verse that is considered to be particularly special. Does anyone know this verse? I don't know the number, actually. Okay, you're referring to a Bhagavad Gita verse, and I'm referring to a Chaitanya Charitamrita verse. Well, actually a verse in general about devotional service. Aidina dayadra natahi maturanata kadavalokyasi hridayam tvadaloka kataram doita brahmiti kim karom yaham. It's a beautiful verse, and it's very simple in meaning, but it expresses the essence of Srimati Radharani's love. So she's feeling separation from Krishna. And she calls out, Ai Dina Dayardra. Dina Dayardra means you're compassionate. In other words, I'm in great need of something and you are compassionate, so please help me. Natahe, you're my Lord. Matura Nata, you've gone to Matura. You're the Lord of Matura. Why is Radharani talking about Matura? Because the gopis are obsessed with Krishna and he's gone to Matura, so they're thinking about Matura all the time. Because Matura is where Krishna lives, right? Matura Nata. Kadavalokyasi, when will I see you? Hridayam tvadaloka kataram. Because I am not seeing you, my heart is suffering. I'm feeling so much pain. Doyata brahmyati kim karamyaham. My mind is reeling, brahmyati. I'm feeling faint. I'm out of control. I've lost control because of this love for you is so great. Doyata, you're so merciful and sweet and helpful. Kim karamyaham, what shall I do? This verse, it's actually described in Majjha 4. This verse is actually spoken by Srimati Radharani herself. And by her mercy, she gave this verse to Madhavendra Puri. He spoke it. It's considered Madhavendra Puri's verse, but in actuality, Radharani has revealed it to us through Madhavendra Puri. So this is about compassion. Dina Dayardra. Dina Dayardra meaning one's heart is soft and feels love for those less fortunate than oneself, you see. So this is the mood of book distribution. One time, devotees asked Gaur Govinda Maharaj, he said, there's so many devotees, they're distributing Prabhupada's books, but they can't do it year after year. They end up stopping. Why is this? And his answer was very simple. He said, they don't have compassion. So if you actually feel compassion, then you will carry on doing book distribution and other related services year in, year out, because you actually feel it. If you don't actually feel it, then there's a possibility you will come off and be distracted and do other things. And it's a very difficult service, like distributing on the streets. It's a razor's edge. We have the saying, touch the pavement, is it? Touch the street. Why do we say that? We're saying to people, don't think about it too much. Just get your feet out onto the street and then we'll think about the rest after that. Just the first hurdle to actually get out on the street, make that endeavor to distribute books. It's very difficult because the mind's very tricky. You don't want to experience abuse. You don't want to experience rejection. You know? So in the eighth canto, there's some verses that glorify the compassion of Lord Shiva. So what activity did Lord Shiva perform that gives him this title of being very compassionate? Pardon? Yes, he drank the poison. So would we do that? Imagine there's poison. Oh, we're going to get killed by poison and someone just drinks it all. Do not worry, I will look after you. That's compassion. So, of course, Vrindavan Chandra, he obviously knew the answer because he quoted a verse several weeks ago from the eighth chapter, right? Eighth canto. It's Tapyanti lokatapena prayasa janavo sadavo prayasho janaha paramaradhanam tadi purushasya kilatmanaha. Of all types of worship, Krishna, the highest form of worship, the highest way to worship Krishna, is to undergo austerity for the sake of the suffering humanity. You see? Well, even humanity, all living beings. Are we prepared to undergo austerity to help others? See, from Krishna's perspective, he desires nothing more than to bring his parts and parcels back to him to enter into an eternal loving relationship. That's Krishna's heart. Sadavah virayam mahyam sadhanam virayam taham. His heart is the sadhu and the sadhu is his heart. There's Narottam Das Thakur, he says, Tomara ridoye sada govinda vishram govinda kohena mora vaishnava paran. He says, within the heart of the Vaishnav is Govinda, and within Govinda's heart is the Vaishnav. So that's how Krishna wants to react with all his parts and parcels. So if we can be instruments in bringing other people to Krishna, that's just such a valuable service to Krishna, and that's what's most dear to him. Now, he likes it when we offer him, you know, cakes on the altar. He likes it when we fan him. He likes it when we clean the temple so he has a nice place to live. But he likes it even more when we actually are able to change the hearts of the living entities. And that requires empowerment. Krishna Shakti Bina Nahi Tara Pravartana. Without Krishna's mercy, we cannot actually do this. So when we go out and distribute Prabhupada's books in the street, and we do other activities, like, for example, we arrange big programs at Haveli. There's a lot of, hard work involved in planning and arranging these things. There's a lot of endeavor goes into cooking, etc. So when we invite people to programs here, that's also para upakara, that's also preaching. When we engage in these activities, then we should be understanding that we're gradually softening our own hearts. And that will be the reward in the long run for all our austerities. So, for example, right now there are probably book distributors who are feeling bliss because they've been going out every day and they're feeling something higher. They've actually got some sweetness and they're feeling, wow, this is wonderful. I want this out all the time, right? So at the end of the Krishna's marathon, or we call it the Prabhupada marathon, at the end of the marathon, they'll be feeling like they've actually benefited and their consciousness has become elevated. And what will probably happen is after a few days, they'll start to come down again and they'll go back to a way of life which is manageable, it's not so stressful, and they might forget even the feeling that they had. And then next year it comes along again and then the consciousness will be elevated again. But before that, there'll be some fear of anxiety because we're about to stretch ourselves. As Kadambara Kanan Maharaj said, there's three zones. There's the comfort zone, the stretch zone, and the stress zone. We should try and stay in the stretch zone. We were pushing ourselves, but not so much that we become so stressed that we become ill. So this is an ideal way to engage in devotional service. So after, for example, the Prabhupada marathon, you might want to consider, you know what? I like this zone. I like this stretch zone where I'm pushing myself, and maybe I should stay in this zone. You know, when Vaisheshika Prabhu was here, he said, we should learn to be comfortable in the discomfort zone and uncomfortable in the comfort zone. We should switch it around, right? Because the comfort zone, we should think, no, this is dangerous. This is going to pull me down into the illusory energy. So I was discussing the eighth canto. There's another verse in the eighth canto. Pranai svai pranina panti sadava kshana bangurai vadavaireshu bhuteshu mohiteshvat mamayaya. The living entities in general are bound by feelings of enmity. Bada vaireshu. Vaira means enemy. They're in illusion. Atma mayaya, which is Krishna's illusory energy. And the sadhus, they, with their own life, they will even risk their own life trying to deliver such people. Another example is the same meaning as the previous verse I mentioned from the 8th canto, but it has slightly different. Pranai svai. With their own lives. They will even lay down their lives for the sake of the suffering humanity. So even in our Krishna consciousness movement, we have examples where devotees have laid down their lives There's one Mataji in Africa doing very dangerous preaching, and then some dacoits came or some, I can't remember exactly it was, but they had guns, and she actually stood in front of the devotees because she could not bear to see the devotees be killed, and she was killed herself. This is in Africa. So there are amazing examples of people who are prepared to lay down their lives, or people who will risk their lives. We have the example of, one of my favorite examples is Tribhuvanath Prabhu. And he was in, I think it was Libya, he was in one Middle East country, and there was a war going on. And he was getting Prabhupada's books printed in Arabic. And the driver said, so there's bombs going off in the buildings nearby, and they're driving along the street, and the driver just said, I'm not going to drive in this. This is far too dangerous. So Tribhuvanath got into the front seat of the car and drove the car because he was so interested in having Prabhupada's books printed in Arabic. And then he would like distribute it. And it didn't matter even if there's a war going on. Another example is Gargamuni and Brahmananda. So one time, Prabhupada was always a warrior, Virabhav. You know, like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he said, Virabhav in this life, Madhuryabhav in the next life. So Virabhav means let's be heroes. We're on a mission here. So one time, Prabhupada was in a Pandal program in India, and some, I'm not sure who it was, maybe it was Bombay. Anyway, one member of the audience raised his hand and he asked him a challenging question. He said, you're preaching Sanatana Dharma in India? You should go to Pakistan. You should preach it there. They need it more. And Prabhupada said, are you challenging? And the man said, yes. So Prabhupada accepted. So then he wrote a letter to Brahmananda and Gargamuni and said, go to Pakistan, do some preaching. So then I think one of them went by plane, the other one went by some other method. Anyway, it was in those days when ISKCON had no money. So they somehow managed to do it. They surrendered because that was the glory of the disciples of Prabhupada. They would tell, whatever he said, they would do. Remember one time, Tamil Krishna Maharaj, he had a dream. And in that dream, I don't remember, it was Krishna was speaking to him, saying, in this age, you know, your disciples, they have no good qualities, they're lazy, they're stupid and everything, but there's only one saving grace. They're very attached to serving your instructions. And he told that to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, yes, that is a fact. It's one thing you're good at is that you actually follow what I say. You actually have faith in me. You want to take shelter of my lotus feet. So just by taking shelter of one of the Prabhupada's lotus feet, then it doesn't matter what other disqualifications you may have, that is the most important qualification. So Brahmananda and Gargamuni, they went off to Pakistan. In the meantime, Prabhupada discovered there was some war going on there. There was some, you know, problem. So what he did was he wrote a letter to them and said, you know, cancel, abort the mission. You know, it's not a good time to go. But they'd already left, so they didn't know. So they ended up going to Pakistan anyway. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. And it was extremely hot. Now, there was four of them. They went to different parts of Pakistan, and each had an assistant. And it was really, really hot, and people were spitting at them. They just weren't welcome at all. In the meantime, news came out of Pakistan that four, I think it was said, it came on the news, something like four Hare Krishnas had been killed. So when Prabhupada heard it, he obviously thought, oh, that's Brahmananda, Gargamuni, and their assistants. But it was actually something else. I don't know what it was, but anyway. So in the meantime, they just ended up, it just wasn't working out. So they left Pakistan and they went to, I think Prabhupada had sent them a telegram or something saying, come with me, you know. So they made their way out of Pakistan. But on the border, you know, the military were there and they were taking people off the buses. So they saw these Westerners. Who are they in, dressed in Indian clothes and wondering what this is all about? So they had them at gunpoint, and Brahmananda and Gargamuni, and they were thinking, this is it. And they just put their hands in a bead bag and started chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Of course, by Krishna's mercy, they didn't get killed at all. And then when they finally went to see Prabhupada, Prabhupada gave Brahmananda a big hug because he was so happy that he was actually alive. So for Brahmananda, this was like a big thing, you know. How often do you get hugged by the founder of a charity, you know? By that time, Prabhupada was so, He was so famous even amongst his disciples, he wouldn't have these kind of intimate dealings so much. He was like big acharya, you know. So it's a wonderful pastime. So anyway, this indicates a number of things. It indicates the desire of Srila Prabhupada, how important it was for him to spread Krishna consciousness everywhere, not just in India. I mean, obviously, it's not so difficult to spread Krishna consciousness in India, especially now. Of course, in the beginning it was. So Prabhupada, what did he do? He took the dancing white elephants back to India, and then they took it seriously. Because Indians are obsessed with the West. If you ask an Indian, where would you like to live? They say, well, I want to go to America. If you ask a British person, they say, well, I want to go to Australia. Right? It's just the way it is. So anyway, where do Americans want to go? I don't know. No idea. Maybe they're just happy to be there. Anyway, so this is compassion. Now, compassion is one of the qualities of Krishna. And it's actually interesting that one of the previous verses, it's mentioned that Vasudev, he recognized you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead because your compassion is just beyond what can be found in a jiva. And actually the word jiva is used in a jiva. So I decided to research this. See, it reminds me of the Nectar Devotion, where there's 64 qualities of Krishna mentioned. So one of them is Karuna, which is compassion. So the jivas, they can develop compassion as well. But they can't develop compassion to the same level as Krishna. When Krishna's 64 qualities are described, it said that 50 of them are possessed by the jivas in general. And the phrase used is bindu bindu taya. It means they have a drop of that quality. So we are tiny sparks. Nitcho nitchanam, chetanas chetananam. You know, Krishna's the supreme eternal, the supreme consciousness, but we are tiny fragmental parts. So we can't experience, we can't have the qualities of Krishna to the same extent, but we can have them as a bindu, bindu taya, a drop of a drop. Whereas for Krishna, it's pari purnataya. He has them in full. So Krishna is known as Akila Rasamrita Murti. What is the meaning of that? Anyone know this phrase? Akila Rasamrita Murti. The embodiment of all rasas, right? Sometimes he's also called Akila Rasamrita Sindhu, the ocean of all rasas. So what's interesting, if you read the Nectar of Devotion, or if you go to the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where the Sanskrit verses are there, you'll find, because this book is all about how we should develop love for Krishna, it's all discussed in terms of our love for Krishna and how we develop our love through Shraddha, you know, Vajana Kriya and Artanavati and so forth, Sadhu Sangha and so forth. So the majority of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is describing how the living entities, they love Krishna, and how the ways they can love Krishna, the primary rasas, the secondary rasas. It's all about how the living entity loves Krishna. And you have one primary rasa. You can't love Krishna and all the rasas at the same time. You have one primary rasa. But then there's a verse which is different. It's describing it from Krishna's perspective. But what does Krishna feel? And it's in relation to Govardhan, lifting of Govardhan Hill. Because in that particular pastime, Krishna is reciprocating simultaneously in all rasas with all the living entities, all the residents of Vrindavan. So the gopis are there, he's having this conjugal rasa, he's having a friendship rasa with Balaram, and he's having vatsalya with the elderly gopis, etc. So all the rasas are going on simultaneously. And Krishna can do that because he's Akila Rasamrita Murti. He can have all these rasas. We have one. We're happy with one. We absorbed in infinite bliss in one rasa, which can then have change. It can change because there are secondary rasas. Secondary rasas come and go, but there's a primary rasa which we all have, you know. And as long as the other rasas don't conflict, then we can experience these other ones, you see. It's all described in elaborate detail in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But Krishna, of course, there's one verse, Govardhan Hill, where Krishna is described as Akila Rasamrita Murti, and you get to see the greater expanse of rasa from the point of view of Bhagavan rather than from the point of view of the jivas. So when the qualities of Krishna are discussed, 50 belong with the jiva, then there's another 5 which Brahma and Shiva can have. And if you read Jiva Dharma, you'll also discover that our other prominent devatas can also have extra 5 qualities. I think Ganesh is one of the examples. But then there's another five qualities that Vishnu can have, but no one else can have. Vishnu can have it, Krishna can have it, but no one else can have it. Anyone know any of those five qualities, special ones? You have to be Vishnu Tattva to have those five qualities. Anyone know any? One of them is Avataravali Bij. He is the source of all avatars. See, the avatars, they come from Vishnu. That's why Vishnu is sometimes described as Angshi. He's the source of the Angshas, which is confusing to some people because they think, well, Krishna's Angshi. Krishna's the source. Well, actually, Krishna is the source because Krishna's the source of Vishnu, who himself, from whom all the avatars are expanding. Of course, we focus on Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna. They don't come as, they're not expansions of Vishnu. They're Swayam Bhagavan. But in general, the avatars are coming through Vishnu. He's the source of them all. So Avataravali Bij. And Atmarama Gana Karshi. What do you think that means? Atmarama Gana Karshi. Karshi means attracts. So he attracts those who are Atmarama. Atmarama means people who are self-satisfied. So you may elevate yourself beyond the dualities of this material world. You may be situated on the Brahma Buddha platform. But if you come in contact with Krishna, you will be attracted. You're self-satisfied, but that's not enough. He's so attractive that even if you're self-satisfied, he'll attract you even more. And there are an example. Here's an example from Krishna's Leela. So when Krishna expands as the calves, then Balaram noticed, hold on a second here, the cows are loving their calves even more than they used to. You know what's going on here? And he figured something's going on here. Yes. So that, and Brahma gets the vision to see that within the calves, within all the cowherd boys, they are actually expansions of Krishna. You see? So that indicates that cows love Krishna even more than their calves. So when you substitute their calves for Krishna, who's expanded and taken those forms, their love even increases even more. Because we are thinking that we are the most precious thing to ourselves. But that's actually not the case. Krishna is more precious than us. So when we have the good fortune to become super soul realized, we'll actually love the super soul more than ourselves. But until we reach that point, we're still very selfish. You see? That's how it works. So Atmarama Gana Karshi, even the great personalities who are self-satisfied, they cannot remain steady when they see Krishna, or when they hear his flute, etc. Or even, you know, not even Krishna, I mentioned Krishna here, but even Vishnu. If they see the form of Vishnu, they become disturbed out of love. So that's Atmarama Gana Karshi. And then there's Koti Brahmanda Vigraha. Means he's the embodiment of innumerable universes. So even if in our perfect stage, you know, we can have love, pure love of Krishna, Krishna Prema. But when we breathe out, even if you're Prema, if you breathe out, you won't get universes expanding out of the pores of your body. But for Vishnu, he's a different category. He's infinite, and therefore all the universes are expanding from the pores of his body. And Hatari Gati Dayaka means he gives liberation to the enemies that he kills. Hata means kills, Ari means the enemy. Hatari Gati Dayaka. Gati Dayaka means liberation. And there's one other one, Avachintya Mahashakti. He has unconceivable mystic potencies. So it's understood that when we develop in our Krishna consciousness, as a byproduct, we may develop certain mystic cities. But whatever mystic cities the jivas can possess, that is nothing compared to the mystic city of Krishna. So his mystic city is said to be Avachintya Mahashakti. His shakti is just Avachintya, meaning inconceivable. So these are the five extra qualities that the Vishnu Tattvas have. And then what are the four extra qualities that Krishna has? Anyone know any? One each. Ramrasinga Prabhu? Yes, sweet relationships in Vrindavan. That's Prema Madhuri, right? Prema Madhurya. Vena Madhurya. Yes, you're gesticulating there. Rupa Madhurya plays the flute, and Bhaktivatsal, that would come under Prema Madhurya, right? Childhood pastimes, that comes under Lila Madhurya. This is the one we're missing, yes, Lila Madhurya. Venu Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, and Lila Madhurya. These are the four special qualities of Krishna. So there's, and actually the Sanskrit verses are very beautiful. Asaman Nordva Rupa Shri Vishma Pitta Chara Charaha. Krishna's Rupa is Asam Ordva, which means no one's form is equal to or surpasses Krishna's beauty. And it's so beautiful, Visma Pitta Chara Charaha. It astonishes the moving and the non-moving living entities. Beautiful. And Tri Jagan Manasa Karshi Murale Kala Kujataha. His flute playing will attract the mind of the three universes. Tri Jagan, the three universes. Was it the three levels of the universe? Tri Jagan Manasa Karshi Murale Kala Kujataha. When you hear Krishna's flute, damn, that's it, you're finished. You can't be attracted to anything else. So as we're in our elementary stage of devotional service, we're like struggling to be attracted to Krishna. But then we reach a point where Krishna, because he's, the word for magnetism is akarshi. Krishna will drag us to him and our consciousness will automatically flow to Krishna and we won't be able to think of anything else. So until we reach that point, we have to find ways to think of Krishna. So we have this process called sadhana bhakti. It's a set of rules we have because our mind does not want to think of Krishna. But once our mind actually thinks of Krishna, then we can't think of anything else. So the gopis are complaining. And we may complain, oh, I can't think of Krishna, I'm thinking of mundane stuff. The gopis are complaining the opposite way. They're like, I can't stop thinking of Krishna. It's just driving me mad. My life is upside down because I can't stop thinking of Krishna. That is our goal. No. So that's, if you hear Krishna's flute, if you're fortunate enough to hear Krishna's flute, then that's it. Akarshi. The flute is very, very attractive. Something very mystical about this flute playing. And it's considered to be the Mahamantra. The Mahamantra goes through the flute. And the Gayatri Mantra comes out of the flute. And it's considered to be a manifestation of Krishna's sweetness, the flute playing. It's described this in, I think it's in Majalila, described this way. So that's two of them. We discussed the flute and we discussed the form. And then, let me think of the other one. Sarvabhuta Chamatkara Kalola Lila Varidihi. It means the Lila of the Lord is like an ocean, Varidi, with little waves, Kalola. Kalola means the ripples. So when you're absorbed in Krishna's pastime, it's just wave after wave of wonderful pastimes which satisfy us and fulfill us and they give us ecstasy. And it's said to be sarva bhuta chamatkara. So adbhuta means wonderful. And what does chamatkar mean? It means wonderful again. So it's like, and sarva means all wonderful. So it's all wonderful, wonderful. That's how you describe Krishna's pastimes. Sarva Bhuta Chamatkara Lila Kalola Varidihi. And there's one other one. What are we missing? Yes, Atulya Madhura Prema Mandata Priya Mandalaha. So Krishna, he's surrounded by his friends. So that's considered the mandala. Mandala is like a disc. So Krishna's surrounded by loving devotees. That's the mandala. And this mandala is Priya Mandata. Mandata means ornamented by Priya, loving devotees who have Atulya Madhura Prema. Their Prema is Madhura, very sweet, and it's Atulya. Atulya means unequaled. So notice how when we discuss those four qualities of Krishna, we use the term Atulya, means nothing is equal to, and Asaman Orva, no one is equal to or greater than. So that's the wonderful qualities of Krishna that surpass All the avatars, even Vishnu, he does not have these qualities. So let's go back to compassion. So compassion is one of the qualities that the jiva does have. But as I mentioned, as was mentioned by Vasudev, he noticed there was a level of compassion within Lord Chaitanya which indicated that he was not an ordinary living entity. And this compassion to Vasudev is like, so Vasudev, his body smells. So it's said in this particular part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita that, you know, even a low class person would not go near Vasudev because of his smell. So we know that low class people, they don't have good taste, right? But even people with poor taste found Vasudev's smell to be distasteful. So that's how sort of disgusted he was from the material perspective. But the Lord Chaitanya, he embraced him. And what happened? Nashta kushtam, his leprosy was cured. Rupa pushtam, he was given a beautiful form. And bhakti tushtam, he was given devotional satisfaction and devotional service. So of those three, which is the best? Not a difficult one to answer. Bhakti tushtam. So there are six characteristics of devotional service. Klesha agni shubhada moksha lagota krit sudur labha sandra nanda vasheshatma shri krishna karshani chasa. First one is klesha agni, destruction of obstacles. So that's nashta kushtam, leprosy, gone, straight away. And then rupa pushtam, beautiful form, that's shubhada, something beautiful, material wealth in the form of beauty, opulence, learning, all these material things. They're not required, but you get them automatically as a byproduct. That's the first two aspects of characteristics of bhakti. And they're not so desirable, and they're not required. They're just incidental. And you can get this at the platform of sadhana bhakti. But if you want something higher, which is moksha lagata krit and sudur labha, very rarely attained, and moksha lagata krit, when you have bhava bhakti or prema bhakti, you consider liberation to be very, very insignificant. Lagu means it's nothing. Liberation, not interested. I'd rather just engage in devotional service. That is the consciousness of someone who is on the platform of bhava bhakti or prema bhakti. And then sandra nanda, visheshatma, means very concentrated bliss. The bliss of bhava is very concentrated, but if you condense even more bliss, that's sandra nanda. Visheshatma, very, very blissful, very concentrated bliss. That's prema. And Sri Krishna Karshini, it attracts Krishna. So bhakti tushta, to be satisfied within devotional service, that is higher than to have a beautiful body or to be free from leprosy. You see? But these all come as a byproduct. So I mentioned how Lord Chaitanya was embracing Vasudev, and he recognized, he's embracing a low-class person. So this is a feature of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. There are many instances where he embraced people from fallen varna, from fallen backgrounds. Anyone give an example? Haridas Thakur, wonderful example. He's not even considered part of the Sanatan Dharma. He's not considered part of the Vedic culture because he's from Mohammedan background. Right? Any other examples? Yes, they were Rupa and Sanatan. There, Sanatan Goswami says, Nitya Sangi Nitya Jati Patita Adama Kuvishaya Kupi Podi Gonainu Janama. He said, I have bad association because I'm working for the Mohammedans who are cow killers and they're invading Jagannath Puri. They're doing all sorts of nonsense. Nitya Sangi Nitya Jati. Now I've lost my caste, used to be Sarasvat Brahman, now he's Nitya Jati, fallen. He's fallen through his activity. Nitya Jati, Nitya Sangi, Patita Adama, and very, very low. Notice how whenever Lord Chaitanya's associates would meet him, they always were very humble. They're always seeing themselves as very fallen. You know, he says, Kuvishaya, Kupi. Kuvishaya, Kupi, Kupa means a well of this disgusting material, vishaya. Kuvishaya means just abominable consciousness when you're attracted to material things. He's seen himself this way, and it's not humility. It's real humility. It's not just, you know, social convention. So that's Sanatana Goswami. And Ramananda Roy is another example. Because he's the governor of Madras, but according to Varnashram, he's still Shudra caste. So he was like, oh, you're touching me, you're embracing me, but I am simply Shudra, you know. He's seen himself as very unqualified. If we see ourselves as unqualified, that is our qualification for Lord Chaitanya's mercy, you see. And Bhavananda Roy, who's the father of Ramananda Roy, he's another example of this same thing. When he was embraced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, you must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because you touched me. You know, a sannyasi would not normally touch a shudra, and you've embraced me, therefore you must be special. You're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met on the bank of the Godavari, all these other brahmanas were watching, witnessing in astonishment. Who is this wonderful sannyasi? Lord Chaitanya, he's got such a beautiful body. And they couldn't understand why is he embracing the Shudra Ramananda Roy. It was inconceivable for them, you know. So that's the rigid caste system was rejected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we'll see that most of his associates were actually untouchable according to that standard. And there were some exceptions, of course. We had the high class Brahmana Advaita Acharya. Or we have Swarup Damodar. These very high class personalities. So a combination of people who by material standards are low class and people who are by material standards are high class, and they're all devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So one time Srila Prabhupada asked Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, what is the difference between Ramananda Roy and Rupa Goswami in terms of their devotion? So what did Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati reply? Anyone know? He said, Prashita Bhartrika. That means a married woman, when her husband is away, she's referred to as Prashita Bhartrika. And in that condition, she'll sleep on the floor, she'll have no ornaments, her hair won't be combed, and she'll look like she's very scruffy, simple clothes. The same woman, when the husband comes back, she will decorate herself with nice ornaments, nice hair, and bangles, and nice sari, etc. So what's the difference? There's actually no difference. The devotion to the husband is there in both situations. But the externals are different. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he was saying, Ramananda Roy, he can live as a governor, he's dressed nicely. Rupa Goswami, just a pair of copans, sleeping under a tree. Very different externally, but the same internally. They're both very devoted to Krishna, you see. So that's Prashita Bhartrika. It's a very beautiful answer. So anyway, why did I say this? Yes, because some of Lord Chaitanya's associates, They're living the good life. We had Pundarik Vijayanidhi, right? So he's got his fine silk cloths, his bed, everything's perfect. He's got this mirror so he can look at himself, beautiful clothes, chewing betel nuts, etc. And then, you know, one verse from the Bhagavatam, and he goes into ecstasy. Aho Baki, was it? No baki yam kalastana kutam chigangshya paya adapya sadvi nibigatim datritutam titanyam kamba doyalam sharanam prajima. Who is there more merciful than Krishna, who gave the position of nurse to Putana, who came to poison him? You see? So the mercy, you want examples of mercy, this is the example of Krishna's mercy. Someone like Putana is coming to very deviously kill Krishna, and he awards her liberation. So who can do such a thing? I mentioned it before, Hatari Gati Doyaka. He gives liberation to the demons that want to kill him. So these are some considerations, and I will conclude. I was told to go on till 9 o'clock, but I just don't want to take up your time, let me. But I'll open it up for comments and questions, but I'll just conclude with one other example of a personality who's very compassionate, and that is Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, they indicate great compassion. So those devotees who are very much interested in book distribution, I notice many of them, they learn a verse from the seventh canto which indicates the compassion that they should have. And this is a very beautiful verse that is should be the mood of the book distributor. It's naivodvije paradu rachaya vaitaranyas tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chittaha socetato vamukachetasa indriyata mayasukaya baram udvahato vamudhan. Where Prahlad Maharaj says to Lord Narsingadev, actually, I'm not disturbed at all by being in this world because I'm taking shelter of your wonderful pastimes. I'm taking shelter of you. Tvad gayana mahamrita magna chitta. My consciousness is magna, absorbed in tvaya gayana amrita, the nectar of your pastimes. I'm just so absorbed in the bliss of your pastimes that I'm very happy even in this hellish condition of the material existence. But soche tato vimukachetasa indriyata mayasukaya baramudvato vimudhan. But my heart is afflicted with compassion for the vimudhas, the foolish people who due to indriyasukha, mayasukha meaning they're absorbed in happiness of material things, and therefore they're undergoing so much suffering because vimukha chetasaha, they've turned their back on you, Lord Narsingadev. So my heart goes out to them, and shoche. Shoche means I lament. So this is our goal. We want to be lamenting when we think of the people that are suffering. Like, for example, now in our society, what has happened in our society? We have actually, the best we can do in our society is to take donations from the Indian community and build temples. That's the best we can do. We would like to be relevant. Wherever we are in the world, we'd like to be relevant to the people of that country. But the fact of the matter is, we can't do it. We don't have the drive to do it. And Prabhupada, one time, he chastised Brahmananda. He said, you know, you're taking money from the Hindus in Africa. You're building temples. You become entangled. Our real business, you should bring the locals in. So Prabhupada opened the doors of the temple, and Brahmananda transformed him, and he very, very enthusiastically preached to the locals, and then all these African devotees started to make so many African devotees. Right? Very high, very difficult to do. I'm not saying this to criticize any person. No one's joining because of me. I'm one of these disempowered people that can't do it either. But that's the point is, that's the standard that we actually should be aiming for. You know? And it's very, if we can't do that, it's plan B. We're doing plan B very well. For me, outside of India, this is the best temple. I love this place. It's just, we're always expanding. Have you seen the next 10-year plan? No. They've got so much planned. They're going to dig under here. They're going to make a whole new set of rooms just beyond Prabhupada's asana. They're going to dig down. It's going to be an orangery, it's going to be several stories, going to have a basement level. All the pujari equipment is going to be stored there. So many rooms upstairs are being used, and downstairs are being used for storing of dresses and stuff. They'll be freed up, more preaching space. That's just one of the projects that is in the pipeline here. So we do that because that's plan B. It's good. It should support the preaching. But plan A, somehow or other, we have to convert everyone. Prabhupada said 10% of the population come Krishna conscious. That's plan A. Who knows how to do it? I don't know how to do it. Anyway, Hare Krishna. And I'll stop there. Jai, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And I thank you all for listening patiently, because I normally stop at 9:30, but I was told to go until 9:00, so I've done something in between, 9:15. So if there are any questions or comments, we can talk a little bit more. Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu, thank you.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much for that beautiful class. I'm just looking at the verse, and since you read it, just reflecting on it, with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, first he tells Vasudev to chant Hare Krishna.
Yes.
And then he tells him, you should preach.
Yes.
And then he says, then Krishna will be merciful to you. Krishna will accept you as his devotee.
Oh, yes, yes.
So I'm just reflecting in terms of this particular verse and how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Vasudev. Would you say that this element of compassion is so fundamentally important that we really get to the point where Krishna accepts us. And also this point about accepting. It seems to be in Krishna consciousness, there's like different stages of acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Krishna accepts you first as a devotee and allows you to engage in devotional
yes.
service. And then there's a second level of acceptance. I was studying a Nectar of Devotion class once, and in terms of the last two qualities you mentioned, the characteristics of pure devotional service, Sandananda Visheshatman, Sri Krishna Karshini, where Krishna becomes attracted to us. One senior devotee was giving this class of Nectar of Devotion. He says, that only happens when Krishna bestows your Kripa Shakti
mm-hmm.
on you. And the Kripa Shakti is a combination of the Ladini Shakti and the Chit Shakti.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, only at that point does Krishna become attracted to you
mm-hmm.
when he bestows this Shakti on you. So I was just wondering in terms of the verse itself where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, as a result, Krishna would soon accept you as his devotee.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like a higher stage? And is that like, is this verse saying, when your compassion in your heart comes to a certain level, then Krishna will bestow your mercy upon him? I'm just interested to hear your realizations.
Yes. Well, one thing I noticed, that this Vasudev, Vipra, he was already liberated before he even met Lord Chaitanya. So I am tending to think that he's actually already got prema. I think he has already got prema. And this is a lila to teach us, you know, come to the next platform. He's acting as if he's got some problem. You know, he's actually liberated already. Prabhupada definitely says he's liberated. So that's my understanding, that his liberation is liberation within devotional service. I don't think he's a monist or anything. And I think this is just a lila to teach us that, yeah, as we go deeper, Krishna reciprocates even more and more. So yeah, I do. That's the way I look at it. And but that's interesting. You mentioned the Kripa Shakti. So it's a combination of the Haladini and the Samvit Shaktis. Yeah, so there's a purport where Prabhupada talks about the Bhakti Shakti. And he says it's a conglomeration of the bliss-giving and the knowledge-giving potencies. So that's there. And I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur or Jiva Goswami, in their commentaries of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, they give an elaboration of the verse that defines Bhav. How does it begin? Remember the verse for Bhav? Shuddha Sattva Visheshatma. It begins with this term, Shuddha Sattva Visheshatma. And then the question is, what does Visheshatma mean in this context? And it means the Shuddha Sattva, which we understand to be, have three divisions, Samvit, Ladini, and Sandini. When you talk about Shuddha Sattva Visheshatma, the indication Visheshatma indicates the predominance of the Hladini and the Samvit Shaktis, which is the Bhakti Shakti. So I understand the Bhakti Shakti to be Samvit and Hladini, and you've mentioned that only at a very high level does the Kripa Shakti descend, and then one comes to the point of being able to attract Krishna. And I accept that, but I also think that even at the beginning stages, because the Bhakti Shakti is inherently Samvita and Ladini, I think there's a little bit there from the very beginning, even from when we meet a devotee, because it's said that the devotees are the givers of the Bhakti Lata Beej when they preach. So the Bhakti from the heart of that devotee is entering that conditioned soul. So there's a little bit of Ladini and Samvit, something very special is there in seed form. And later on it will develop, and as you pointed out, thank you for pointing that out, I've not heard that before. At some point, Krishna Karshini, it will the Kripa Shakti will descend, and then Krishna will be unable to resist that devotee. That devotee will control Krishna. Thank you. It's nice. Anyone else want to say something? Comments? Srinivas Prabhuji.
In that book, Holy Prison, Chandramani Maharaj gives an example how there was one old lady, she was put into prison, and she became depressed. So a devotee went and told her, you must start chanting 16 rounds. Mm-hmm. So she starts chanting 16 rounds. And then the devotee told her, just like Krishna was born in the prison, and he took everyone out of prison, he took everyone out of prison, so you must pray to Krishna like this.
Mm.
So, soon after that, she left her body. But it seems from this example, Krishna's mercy is open for everyone. It's just how open are you to receive the mercy. The service attitude has to be there.
Thank you.
So from her side, she was open for the mercy and Krishna sent the devotee to guide her.
Yes, one day Prabhupada, someone asked Prabhupada, why are you giving so much mercy to Vishnujan? He said, it's free for everyone, he's the one that's taking it. You know, we have to make steps towards Krishna, or the spiritual master, will give blessings. But actually, you mentioned Chandramouli Swami, so on Facebook someone posted recently, if you want to get the mercy of the spiritual master, you strictly follow the order of the spiritual master. So if you do that, then naturally the mercy will flow. Like the teacher, you know, the teacher wants the students to pass, but if someone does a duff exam, the teacher's like, I want to pass you, but I just can't pass you. It's just not good enough. It just wouldn't be right of me to do so. Same with the spiritual master. The spiritual master is eager to give blessings and mercy to the disciples, but there needs to be something coming from the other side, you know. Otherwise it's not serious or something. It's not proper, you know. Wonderful. You reminded me of something as well when we were speaking. Oh yeah. So in the 10th canto it said, Sadevaki Sarva Jagani Vasa Nivasa Bhutam Nitaram Chareji Bojendra Grehehi Shikiva Rudha Sarasvati Jana Kalej Yatasati. Just as Krishna was is effulgent, but he was, because he was contained within the prison of Kamsa, he was like a lamp that was covered by a pot, so his effulgence was hidden. And it's compared to a person of knowledge who chooses not to distribute it. So as Prabhupada in the purport, he says that we have a duty to spread Krishna consciousness. So we don't want to be Jnana Kala, means someone who has knowledge but doesn't distribute it. That is a bad situation. You should always give whatever you have received from others that have benefited you, you should be eager to give that to others. And if you don't, then you won't get more knowledge. To get more knowledge, you have to give what you've already received. So Jnana Kala means someone who's, Kala means envious. Someone who has knowledge but they're envious, they don't want to share. So we should always be eager to share our Krishna consciousness with others. Otherwise, you know, if we keep it hidden, you know, it's like the flame covered by the pot, or it's like Krishna Surya Sangha. Sama, he's like the sun, but he's hidden within the prison of Kamsa. So it's a message. Krishna's pastimes, they have a message that we should be preachers. It's there embedded within the Sanskrit, but Prabhupada's purport bringing out. You know. Jai. Anyone else? Okay, pass to Anandashri.
Krishna, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Just the last point you made.
All right.
We may be able, maybe eager to share the knowledge. Sometimes we find it difficult to find the audience that's eager to receive. And sometimes we may get frustrated, like, okay, I'm eager to share, but I'm getting the response that's kind of like disappointing, discouraging. Anyway, so how do you deal with this situation? I mean, Krishna sends us sometimes people who are eager.
Yes.
We might feel like maybe it's not enough. We might, like Krishna, the Prabhupada said, like, you need to, your people in Americans, you must do something wonderful. So Prabhupada was expecting from his disciples to do something wonderful, and maybe we, you know, expect that from our endeavors we would need to make an impact that would seem significant, and if it's not, how do you deal with the situation?
Yes, how do we deal with the situation? My observation is, as devotees, we love it when something happens, you know, when you meet someone and you think afterwards, Krishna arranged that, and we get to be part of an arrangement involving Krishna, and that's the highest feeling. We just feel, oh, Krishna arranged that situation, and I was part of it, so I was an instrument of Krishna. We really love it when that happens, and when we don't see it happening, it's like, it just becomes disheartening, right? There's a number of ways I look at it. One is, because we have the knowledge, but we're not living it, there's some lack of empowerment on our part. You know, Prabhupada gives the example of Narad Muni, so he can convert Mrigari the hunter, but he says we can't do that. So we convert according to our potency. And if we find our potency is very little, then we can just take shelter of humility and say, this is Krishna telling me that I'm not following properly, I'm not empowered, there's something wrong with me, because I'm not an instrument. He's not using me as an instrument. There's something wrong with me. I need to come up to a higher platform. So we can turn it that way and see as an impetus to be more serious about living our philosophy, so that we will become empowered. That's one way to look at it. Another way we can see it as, this is Krishna testing me, and we understand that Krishna isn't the result. It can come from Krishna anyway. So if we preach without any result, but we still keep doing it, then we're actually, in some sense, we're actually even better, because we're doing it on a detached platform. I mean, you know, like, talk about book distribution. So someone may go out and distribute so many books, and someone may go out and distribute none, you know. So we may think one person gets all the attention, all the glory, but it might actually be that the one that distributed none is actually might have made more spiritual advancement, because there was nothing, there was no motive. Because, you know, if the books are flying out, then you're having a whale of a time. You're thinking, oh, I'm great, this is great, I'm so empowered, you know. It's easy, you know. Still, it's not that easy, actually. But even people that do 50, 100 books in a day, they have to suffer as well. But anyway, imagine you're doing it and nothing's happening, but you still do it, because you've actually had to surrender to a higher level, because you're getting no result. So that's another way to look at it. And, yeah. Like, I noticed, for example, take for example Saturday night Harinams. Why is it popular? Because people are drunk and happy. So we just go amongst a group of drunk, happy people, and they all chant Hare Krishna with us, and then we feel, this is wonderful. And it's kind of like, it looks like it's big preaching, but in some sense it's not. It's just, we've just found an audience, and then we want to share, and we found someone who's prepared to, because we try and do it to other people and they're not interested, you know. So, but I just mean, as devotees, we're very compassionate in the sense that we love it when people reciprocate with us, right? So, and when it doesn't happen, as I say, we'd have to go deeper and go, okay, I need to come to a higher platform. I need to become empowered. Maybe we just, you know, follow more strictly, look at what we're not doing right, then we'll get that extra shakti. You know, the kripa shakti. Krishna shakti bina nahi tara pravartana. We just, okay, there's no, Krishna shakti is not there, so back to the drawing board, right?
Yeah, the point that you made about becoming relevant.
Oh, becoming relevant, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the same thing. Because it is something that, you know, we face it every day, and, you know, we're kind of functioning in a certain environment, but at the same time, we feel like we need to become relevant.
Yes. We can become.
And, you know, you're like, you're trying to find a means, but I'm not trying to, I'm just kind of thinking how to become relevant, but what do we do?
For me, I go with the Nike thing, just do it, right? It's like, I remember being, you know, if you go back to look at how the temples were run in the 70s, right? What would happen after this class, right? We'd just have probably some austere prasadam, and then everyone would just be out in the street straight afterwards. And then there'd be mercy, there'd be reciprocation going on, there'd be mercy. But now we don't do that. Instead, we think about, how are we going to be relevant? So, well, if we're sitting in the temple and we don't go out, then we're not going to be relevant, obviously. So there's a certain urgency that, I mean, I give the example of Prabhupada and Brahmananda. So Brahmananda, he looks quite good what he's doing. I mean, to do that nowadays would be like, wow, this devotee is amazing. He's gone to Africa and he's created a temple and there's all this stuff going on. But by Prabhupada's standards, that's like, you know, that's entanglement, right? So he's like, go in there and get the locals interested. And, you know, it's just a sense of urgency that Prabhupada had, and he then, people had faith in that, and therefore they urgently followed his order, because they didn't know how long he was going to be in the planet. And what happened was, it was like it's an emergency, we have to spread Krishna consciousness really soon. And then when Prabhupada leaves the planet, oh, job's done, let's kick back, right? No, it didn't happen that way. Gradually, we just kind of got a little bit more and more comfortable. And then we thought, it's no longer an emergency. But the point is, it's still an emergency. When did Prabhupada say job was accomplished? It's never been accomplished. So what's the difference between now and then? There isn't any difference. We're still in a situation where the vast majority of people are not Krishna conscious and they're not even interested. Say again? Okay. Okay. It's even more of an emergency, so we have to do something about it. Okay. That's how it needs to go, Steve. But some other time, because it's prasadam time now. Grantaraj, Shri Jisani Chajamadakija, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Nitai Gaura Pimanandi.